This is Current Sports.
Oh, snap, crackle, and pop. Yes, it's about that time, folks. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Man, oh man, do we have a show in store for you all. Well, have you heard about the Northwestern unionization? Interesting stuff. It's actually sent shockwaves to the sporting world and college athletics world because this could be a game changer when it comes to college athletes. Really opens the door for other schools to possibly do the same. That's right, even here at Michigan State University. We will break down what this could mean for college athletics across the board throughout this entire nation. Really groundbreaking stuff. Again, Northwestern, they fought for it and they got it approved, and it looks as though they will be able to unionize and will be looked at as employees of the university. What do you think about that? Again, we will be taking your calls today as we talk about that during our second segment on today's show. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And an interesting aspect to this whole unionization has to do with the fact that, you know, when once I first heard about it, that Northwestern got approved to unionize, I automatically thought that this would automatically mean that college athletes could possibly be paid. Now, there are stipulations to this. For those who know how a union works, they try to protect the employee of a certain company, and through a variance of different aspects, which we will again break down later on in the show. I've got some strong thoughts on it. I'm sure you probably do too. Again, if you want to comment on it, we will be taking your calls at 517-355-9527. Also want to remind you all that Current Sports TV, man, was it off the chain last night, I tell you. Of course, each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we tape Current Sports TV. And last night I sat down with the Class C state championship runner-up team of the Pomona Westphalia Pirates, the boys' basketball team led by head coach Luke Pohl. Luke joined me along with just about the entire team, and I felt like the entire PW community was there. It was great stuff. There was not an empty seat in the room. It was probably the second highest highest attended taping that we've had since Greg Kelser. So unbelievable stuff. It was great seeing all of your smiling faces last night. It was always a great time each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. at WKAR-TV. Again, you can catch that episode tonight at 10 p.m. On WKAR-TV. We'll talk a little March Madness. You'll get to hear what Susie Merchant and Jasmine Hines had to say after the MSU women's basketball loss to North Carolina. And also the Michigan State football team, they took a trip to the Capitol. You'll get to see that. And as they start spring practice, you get to hear from Mark D'Antonio and his thoughts on that. So you get to catch all that and so much more. Again, we'll do a quick recap as well on PW losing in the state championship to Detroit Consortium. But I tell you what, even though it was a loss, boy, did it feel like a win for Luke and that entire community. So thank you to all who came out to that taping last night. We really appreciate it. And also want to remind you all that the latest documentary from Independent Lens tells a story from Indiana of a high school basketball team in a small rural town whose fates are intertwined. You can join WKAR for a short preview of the film entitled Medora. It's going to be we're going to show the film and discuss it with Bath Township Treasurer Jeff Garrity and boys basketball coach Gabe Sawa. Now, they'll share their thoughts on similarities and differences between how basketball can impact a struggling town as revealed in Medora and in their mid-Michigan community. Again, you can reserve free seats for that taping and discussion tonight. Again, that will take place tonight at 7 p.m. That will be taking place at the WKAR-TV studios. To sign up for that audience, to reserve free seats, just visit WKAR.org to do so. That should be a very intriguing discussion with Jeff Garrity and Gabe Sawa, so you don't want to miss that. So much going on, I tell you, in the world of WKAR, and we thank you for constantly supporting us. All right, well, let's dive into today's Current Sports Radio Show. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this March 27th, 2014. Okay, in yesterday's Detroit Tigers spring baseball action, the Tigers topped the Philadelphia Phillies 1-0. Now, in his final start before opening day, Justin Verlander allowed no runs and one hit. A first inning single by Chase Utley was the only hit he allowed. Now, Phillies ace Cliff Lee, he went five innings and allowed one run. Now, it came in the first when Ian Kinsler hit a triple into the right field corner with one out and scored on Miguel Cabrera's ground out. Now, the Tigers are currently playing the Braves. That one has just started, a 105 first pitch. We'll keep you updated on that one throughout the hour. And with only 10 healthy players, the Cleveland Cavaliers overcame a 16-point fourth quarter deficit to beat the Detroit Pistons on Dion Waiters' baseline jumper as time expired. Now, with 9 games left, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they remain in 10th place in the Eastern Conference, 3 games behind number 8 Atlanta and a half game behind the New York Knicks. Waiters said after the buzzer beater, quote, "It was a great feeling. It was a big-time shot, and I love the way my teammates reacted. It was the best feeling in the world." Now, the Pistons led 82-66 going into that fourth quarter, but the NBA's worst fourth-quarter team collapsed once again down the stretch. No surprise there. The Pistons sit at 11th in the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland, New York, and Atlanta for that 8th playoff spot. We'll talk about the Pistons and a little NBA during our last segment of current sports. All right, and it was a battle of the beast of the East. Paul George scored 23 points. Roy Hibbert added 21, and Indiana rallied from a 7-point deficit in the fourth quarter to beat the Heat 84-83, taking a 3-game lead over Miami in the chase of the Eastern Conference's top seed. Indiana has won its first back-to-back Central Division championship since 1989, 99, and 99-2000. Now, the Heat are now 7-8 in March. The Pacers and Heat will meet again on April 11th in Miami. Okay, and the Red Wings return home tonight to face the Montreal Canadiens with a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. Detroit dropped to Columbus in its last game 4-2. And look to go ahead for Columbus for the wild card playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. The Canadiens are 4-1-0 in their last 5 games. The Red Wings are looking to cool off their hot streak. And police are saying that Colts owner Jim Irsay had $29,000 on him during their traffic stop, which resulted in a DWI. Now, on March 16th, Irsay stopped twice on a public street with no reason, which led to him being pulled over and charged. Now, there is no further word on if Irsay will be charged with the numerous prescription drugs also found in the vehicle. Interesting stuff there. And the Sweet 16 kicks off tonight with action in the West and South regions. Yes, let the March Madness resume. In the South, 11 seed Dayton and 10 seed Stanford square off at 7:15 p.m. in Memphis. In the West region, 6 seed Baylor and number 2 seed Wisconsin follow at 7:47 p.m. in Anaheim. And the Nightcaps feature top-seeded Florida and 4-seed UCLA in Memphis at 9:45 p.m., while in the West, 1-seed Arizona takes on 4-seed San Diego State to end tonight's action. So make sure you have your brackets handy there. And in a decision that could potentially alter the course of college athletics, the Chicago District of the National Labor Relations Board ruled that Northwestern football players qualify as employees and can unionize. Now, NLRB Regional Director Peter Sung-Orr listed the time commitment from players and ties between player performance and their scholarships as the main reasons for the decision. Now, players can now vote on whether or not to be represented by the College Athletes Players Association. Ramogi Huma, president of both the National College Players Association and the newly formed College Athletes Players Association, spoke on the decision, saying, quote, "The NCAA invented the term student athlete to prevent the exact ruling that was made today. For 60 years, people have bought into the notion that they are students only. The reality is players are employees, and today's ruling confirms that. The players are one giant step closer to justice." Interesting stuff. So, again, this is the hot topic for today. We are asking you to call in and weigh on it. Do you agree with the Northwestern unionization rule? 517-355-9527. Matt, Alex, and I will definitely give our thoughts on it, and you better believe they will be some strong ones. So, again, let your voice be heard by picking up the phone and dialing 517-355-9527. All right, and the winningest coach in Michigan hockey history has decided to retire Mike Turner, head coach at Trenton High School, has called it a career after 28 seasons on the ice. Now, he guided Trenton to 11 state titles, including this year's championship over Heartland. Turner amassed a 629-122-51 record in his 28 seasons. My good googly moogly. That's unbelievable. And never had a losing season during his entire tenure. During his entire 28 seasons, never had a losing season. That's unbelievable. He announced his retirement at the team's end-of-the-year banquet. So, wish Mike all the best. That is certainly one incredible record and one incredible career at Trenton High School. My goodness. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, again, we will be taking your calls. Specifically, definitely want to get your thoughts on this whole Northwestern Athletic unionization that is currently taking place. A huge game changer when it comes to college athletics across the board throughout this entire nation. What do you think about it? Do you agree with it? 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR to let your voice be heard. Okay, well, again, last night was a great night in current sports TV as I sat down with Luke Pohl, who is the Pomona Westphalia head boys basketball coach. Of course, if you've been following boys basketball throughout mid-Michigan, you know that the PW Pirates made it all the way to the Class C state championship, falling just short to Detroit Consortium this past Saturday. But what a run it was. It was Luke's first time ever making it to the Class C state championship. And I tell you what, the C-MAC is certainly turning heads. That is such an impressive conference. We actually had Greg Marshall on the show not too long ago, and Greg talked about how the powerhouse of the C-MAC, because Laingsburg, actually, if you remember last season, they were the team that made it all the way to the Class C state championship, falling just short by one point loss to Flint Beecher. You can always look forward to the C-MAC bringing it each and every season, and PW was certainly that team this season. I sat down with Luke. It was a packed house. The entire PW community was there. Just about every basketball player on that PW team was there as well. And I started off by, because if you recap that game, for those who attended that game, it was a great back-and-forth game early on in the third quarter, actually. A shot by Evan Fidawa actually put Pomona Westphalia up by 2 points. But then, of course, Josh Jackson, who is one of the top sophomores in the entire, not just the entire state, but the entire nation, ranked in the top 30 in the entire nation, he kind of just took over and really started to stretch the lead for the Cougars. But, during that moment, that was a moment that I looked at. If you look at PW's run, that was a moment that I said, hey, here come the Cardiac Kids. That's their nickname, by the way, the Cardiac Kids, because every game has been close. So many games have been close this season. They found a way to just kind of squeak out of them. And I said to myself, hey, they're about to come back in this game. I had to start off the interview by asking Luke what exactly went through his head when PW took that 2-point lead. And what a run it was for you. I mean, you just saw the highlights from that Class C state championship game, of course, falling just short to Detroit Consortium. I got to ask you, though. I mean, this team has been dubbed the Cardiac Kids. Dude, there's some very close wins against Shelby, Flint Beecher. I mean, you guys have squeaked out some close ones. When you took that lead, when that three was hit by Fidawa, what went through your head?
Well, we were trying to get to the fourth quarter, keep it within striking distance in that fourth quarter, and I thought we were pretty close. And, they went on that run, and we tried to stop it with some timeouts, but, they were able to get that lead going into the fourth. I think it was 10 or maybe it was 11 or something. So that was a little bit of a letdown, but I thought we had taken it that far. We'd come back from a 21-10 deficit, after the first quarter where they're hitting all those threes. I was really proud of the fact that we got right back in it. And, you just think you're getting so close. I wish the time could have ran out.
Right, exactly. Especially when you took the lead. I know, right?
That's
just ended right at the third quarter.
Right there.
Game over, state championship won.
Quick clock.
I know, right? But I got to ask you, I mean, during this entire ride, I mean, looking just at that game, what was the message throughout that game? When you did take the lead, and what did you tell them at halftime when you were down?
Well, the thing is we just wanted to go in 4-minute segments. and play our butts off for 4-minute segments because they have those TV timeouts, which doesn't happen in high school basketball.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, we knew we could always get a rest.
Right.
You know, that was probably it. And just keep playing hard and doing the things that we do because we weren't going to change anything at that point anyway.
You know, something I will always remember. When I walked out on that court, you know, to film you guys, you know, a lot of the team is here right now in the 12-man audience. When I went out there on that court to film you all after that loss, something that really stood out to me was that there were no heads down. There were no tears. It is the first time I've ever covered a high school in this area in a state championship game that received a loss that took it the way you guys did. Heads held up high. That says a lot about this program and about that moment, right?
Well, it certainly does. You know, we're about a team unit. We're not about individuals. A lot of times people hang their heads, throw the towel over their head looking for some sympathy or whatever else. And, you know, we didn't have those type of players. Our guys, you know, we've never coached them like that to be that way. And I was really proud of that fact that we didn't have to address that at all. It's not like I talked about it either, you know, as far as the game went and stuff. And they just handled themselves like men, and I think they grew up to be men during this season.
Is this the best team you ever coached?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
What made them so special?
Yep. You know, I think what made them special was the way they could defend. If you look at our defensive stats, they're just ridiculous. And for me to watch film sometimes, I even wondered how teams actually scored against us, especially during that one stretch there. We just made it so tough for people.
Right.
And, you know, I just love that. I love it. I wish we could keep somebody scoreless.
Right.
And we did for quite a period of time in some of those games.
Yeah, you certainly did. Give it up for it, guys. I mean, because that, I mean, what a run. You know, Luke, I got to ask you, with this incredible ride, I mean, because this is your first time ever making it to the Breslin Center. And, you know, we definitely talked about that. But it was such a ride, such a magical ride for this entire team and this community. What will you remember the most? Is there any one memory that stands out the most throughout this season, other than making it to the Breslin for that state championship game?
You know, there's a lot of memories, but probably the memory was probably against Beecher when, you know, you kind of sit there and as a coach, you face reality to a certain extent during a ball game. You're juggling things. I'm trying to think, okay, what am I going to say after the game now? I can't stand that speech.
So you plan your speeches?
Well, you got to. You know, you got to get yourself ready or you go in there, you can't say anything. And, you know, for a season like this, I wanted to make sure maybe I had something. And, and Kyle hits that three, but all of a sudden Nick is there to steal that ball. And it's like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I was just shocked at that. I could not believe that happened.
And Nick is right here in the audience.
Yeah, you know, it's so great that they drag us along, you know, as coaches and stuff. And, you know, I mean, players make plays.
Right.
Especially offensively and stuff. I think the defensive side is the coach's side, but the offensive side is the player's side. And it just made plays at the end.
Yeah.
Hey. Just glad we kept going.
You almost had a heart attack during that game, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, when he hit that, I just couldn't believe he was throwing the ball to him.
Right.
You know,
right.
What a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a gift.
That
it
is
wasn't
so
even
true.
Christmas.
Not even Christmas.
No.
Not even Christmas. Luke, for you, you know, something that really stands out to me. I've covered a lot of coaches in this area. We've had Coach Steve Fenimore from East Lansing High School on the show. There's, you know, a few football coaches here and there. Al Slammer of Holt. Real intense guys. I mean, guys that just, when you see them on the sidelines, they're turning beet red. Out of all the coaches I've covered a lot of them. Looking at you, I have never seen a coach as intense. You almost remind me of, it's like Izzo-like in a way. Where did the competitive loophole, when did that start? When did that competitive drive start? Even sitting here, you're turning red right now. I didn't say anything. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know when it started. I can tell you this. I was a goofy little kid. I mean, I was. When I was a little kid, I was 8 years old, my dad got me a hoe for my birthday.
A what?
Because a hoe, to hoe in a garden.
Oh, okay. And, I was confused for a second.
I
was confused.
I understand now.
Okay,
all right.
Gotcha.
But the thing is, you know, I like to hoe.
Right.
I like to hoe in the garden. And so I went out and I hoed all his tomato plants out. You know, I mean, just stupid stuff like that. And they probably should have had me checked just to see what what my issues were. But I don't know. You know, my brother told me during one of those games, he says, uh-oh, here it comes. This is the Woody Hayes part. He's going to get tossed. He's going to embarrass himself. This is going to be at the end of his career.
Right.
You know,
right.
When I came out on the floor during one game, I don't even want to mention it.
Right.
All right.
We won't bring it up.
But
right.
It was a point there. But, you know, I usually controlled myself pretty good. And, you know,
good.
That's why I had my coaches pulling me back.
That's a good coaching staff.
Exactly.
That's a very good coaching
exactly.
staff. Now, for you, how many games have you been thrown out of?
None.
And
I very, very rarely
give it up
get
for that. That's an accomplishment. Because,
yeah.
Luke, you're so fiery, man.
Well, I very rarely get a technical foul. If I got one, I didn't deserve it.
Wow. I think every coach would attest to that, right? Exactly. Luke, for you, you saw the ESPN. Well, we talked before the show started. How many people saw the whole Izzo sports science thing? How many guys people saw that? Well, actually, me and Luke, we talked about this before the show. Izzo swallowed a pill. We talked about it last week, too. He swallows a pill that monitors his heart rate, his adrenaline levels, all of that kind of stuff, his stress throughout an entire game. One point, his heart rate doubled. You know, he's going crazy. You know how Izzo is. I don't need to explain that. As a coach, I mean, it can be kind of very stressful on that sideline. How do you deal with that stress and kind of try to calm yourself down to a degree? Because that's very admirable. You've never gotten thrown out, Luke. So obviously, you're doing something right when those moments do happen.
Well behaved.
Right.
Yeah, well behaved. You know, almost before every game, I tell myself I'm going to behave. Kind of like when I was in grade school and the nuns would. I couldn't behave in mass and stuff, and they had me sit next to them, and so I kind of tried to work myself through that, and then I, as a coach, I try to do the same thing. I tell myself I'm going to behave. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm, you know, and things like that, and it never worked. All right, you know, but no, there's no doubt about it. You know, you are who you are.
Right.
I mean, that's the basic thing, and I can't sit there and be calm because that's not me.
Exactly.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
Yep.
I mean, I'm the same way. I'm pretty competitive, too. I mean, I always tell people, if I'm playing my grandma in Goldfish, I'm not just trying to beat grandma. I'm trying to kill grandma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to go at her. You know, I'm trying to go at it, man.
Yeah.
But for you, Luke, I mean, not just focusing on this season now. As the season is now, you know, a bow is on it. It's wrapped. It's done. When people think back to the 2014 PW boys basketball team, what do you want them to remember?
I just want to I want them to remember what kind of a quality people we had on our team. You know, people that cared about others, people that energized the community, energized the school under some real tough circumstances because they were anointed by outside people as that team that should do things. These kids never talked about those kind of things. All they did was get to work, and they made some things happen under some situations that you could probably say could be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when expectations are high, it's always very difficult.
Right.
And these guys met the expectations and went further than that. So, you know, I'll never forget these guys, but I never forget most of my players either. You know, I got a former player there, Johnny Lehman, played a couple years ago. Dom, mm-hmm. you know, a few years ago too. And I mean, I'm like a dog, all right? I'm just like a dog. I will always be there for those guys, even if they kick me around and stuff.
I gotta love it. Give it up for that. Such a great message. Man. And like you said, many of them in the audience right now, you know, to shift gears really quick, Luke, something I've always admired about you is you always are in the community doing different things. And one of the most admirable endeavors that you have taken upon is something called Austin's House. Can you explain how that organization got started and what is it about?
Well, you know, my son Austin is, as he was growing up and stuff, and you're young, you think you can take care of him forever. But as you get older, you realize that you can't. I had initially bought some land, actually from Nick's grandpa, you know, next door, and I was going to put a house right there. And his doctor suggested that we go a little bit further and build it big enough for more residents than just Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be a good idea. So my wife and I and some people in the community that we contacted got together, formed a nonprofit corporation, and we went ahead building that house. And we had a lot of support from the community. You know, a lot of people stepped up, contractors and stuff, and did work for nothing. And we had a lot of money given to that. I'm really proud of the fact that we can provide that for those guys to be able to live in Westphalia. Right. You know, I think everybody deserves an opportunity to live wherever they want, no matter what their special needs might be.
Right.
And, you know, for Austin just to be so close to me like that and for me to know that he'll be taken care of when I'm gone means everything to me. I mean, that was always my biggest concern, you know, that I would maybe pass away when he wasn't, I didn't know he was taken care of. And now I know he's taken care of, and that really takes a load off somebody's shoulders, as it does my wife, too.
And for those watching, Austin's House, what kind of kids do they deal with, Luke?
You know, Austin's House has got young men, you know, between the ages of like 18 and probably 35, you know, and they need 24-hour care 7 days a week. They need people that work in there that love those kids, that love working with them, and you know, people with huge hearts that understand what those guys need. Mm-hmm. And they have to be selfless type people to do that kind of work, because they don't get paid a lot to do it. And some of the, you know, it can be quite stressful also, but you just have to understand what the residents are going through, you know. And we've had some really good people working there, and we've got some good people working there right now.
That is so true. Before I let the 12th man get at you, Luke, just really quickly, I mean, Austin, of course, he's had such a big impact on your life. Just talk about what he is really, you know, as far as just you as a person, what he has done for you in your life, not only on the court, but off it as well.
Well, you know, I always think about what I would be like if he had been, he wouldn't have been a special needs boy, you know, and I always... And I think he's had a huge impact on me. I think he's made me a better person. I think he's made me much more compassionate to anybody and everybody that's out there. And that can only come through him. Easy things like toilet training him and stuff were so difficult. And you just had to hang in there and persevere and keep going and keep going. Mm-hmm. And it's probably one of those things that's probably helped me in coaching as far as persevering and just keep going, because that's what we had to do with him. And to see him just make small gains was gigantic. And I am so proud of him. I love taking him all over. I love to go places with him and ride around a pickup, listen to that big time rock and roll from the old time stuff.
Right, right.
You know, and he just keeps having me turn the dial up, turn the dial up, turn the dial up. We're listening to Styx today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And,
no Drake or Rihanna? Or like,
no, he don't Drake. Like that stuff. Okay. No. He likes the stuff I like, because that's right. The stuff I put in. But it's the stuff that he got used to listening to. And right. He just loves to ride. We have rode thousands upon thousands of miles throughout the state of Michigan over the years.
Gotta love that.
And my players know about him, because I've talked about him before. We, you know, the sad thing is you know, when he was younger and stuff, when you go into restaurants and you're not waited on, or nobody comes back because they don't want a boy like that to come back, just really tears your heart right out. You know, and to see that and to see some of the reaction from people, you know, towards him, if they would just get to know him. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know him, and like a lot of other people know him, such as Coach Simmons and other, you know, other people in the community and stuff. They would see that he's really got something to offer.
Well, I think it's so admirable. I mean, Luke, great stuff there. All right. Well, let's transition to the show. 12th man, you guys ready?
Yeah.
The 12th man starts right now. It's time for the 12th man, where we take questions from our live TV studio audience here at WKR TV Studios. First question comes from Lane Simmon, who is actually on this incredible PW basketball team. How you doing, Lane, and what is your question?
I'm doing well. Coach, what's your favorite memory with the team besides the Risa game this year?
Well, I think the favorite memory would have been that regional championship at Montebello, coming into the locker room and seeing just the happy faces. And then it was topped by that the happier faces against Flint Beecher. You know, I just love it when people pull together and you know, really appreciate the hard work they did. And I'd love to see smiles on people's faces. So That would probably be it.
Hey, thanks a lot. Give it up for Lane. Thanks. Good question, Lane. All right, next question comes from Jamal. How you doing, Jamal? What's your question?
Doing well. How did you keep your team focused during all the hype of a run to the state finals?
Well, I think it's a little easier when they're seniors, you know, and I think because of their maturity and just because of their age, they're able to stay more focused in this kind of thing. And it's happening so quickly that you've just got to focus. You know, you're just going from game to game, and you just get on a roll, and things, great things happen. And I think that's how we were able to do it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jamal. Get up for Jamal. One last one quick one from Paige. Paige, how you doing, and what's your question?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Coach, what was it like to coach a game in the Breslin Center?
Well, I've coached some games there before over the Christmas thing, but I think that the thing I wanted to do is I wanted to get these guys there. You know, I wanted these kids to have that opportunity to play in the state tournament in that type of venue and stuff. And as a coach, every coach wants that opportunity, but the coach needs the players to get them there. And that's what we had this year. We had the guys that dragged the coach on through and got them to fulfill a dream.
Yes, and that dream was certainly capped off with one special season, one special community, and one special man in Luke Paul. Luke, thanks so much for sitting down with me again. You can catch that entire episode tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Don't want to miss it. Better hit your DVR, record it. If you can't be around your TV at 10 p.m. tonight, should be a good one. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we are going to dive into this whole Northwestern and in their athletic department unionizing. Interesting stuff, to say the least. Again, we'll be taking your calls on it, 517-355-9527. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on. Well, oh, baby, won't you come to me? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, we have hit the second segment of the show where Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey now join me. And throughout this entire semester, until the academic semester ends for a lot of the students around here at Michigan State University. Again, I've told you we have a lot of outstanding students who want to go into sports reporting here at Michigan State. They are working on Current Sports and have been for quite some time now, and we have another student joining us today. Please tell us your name and what interested you into getting sports reporting.
All right, I'm Caleb Nordgren. I got into sports, I forget when this was. It was early in high school. A friend of my dad's took me to Wrigley Field. I grew up in Chicago, so it took me to Wrigley Field, and we sat in the press box, and you know, just I wasn't like reporting or anything. I was just there, and
just got hooked.
Yeah, no, I mean the whole experience was, you know, it was invigorating. You know, like the view, looking down over the stadium and the whole thing, and also there was free food, so I was into that.
Gotta love that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Caleb. Caleb is doing some outstanding work here on Current Sports. Thanks a lot, Caleb. Will be joining us throughout the rest of the hour. And Alex and Matt, how you guys doing? Happy Thursday.
Or should we say, happy unionization?
Oh, we're gonna get to that in definitely a sec. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. I'm ready for college basketball to kick back into gear tonight.
Tonight, baby, I can't wait for it either, guys. Guys, before we dive into the madness that is March and of course the Northwestern unionization, we have a caller on line one. Dave, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports, Dave. Is he there? Do we have Dave? I don't think we do. Okay, Dave, call on back. We'd love to get your thoughts. We'll get him back. We'll get Dave back. All right, guys. Well, you know, something really briefly, guys, that we kind of alluded to yesterday. We didn't get to finish our conversation, but of course, the Michigan State women's basketball team coming up just short. Well, maybe that's a nice way to put it, against North Carolina, as North Carolina made it look just easy. Against Susie Merchant and her squad. We kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday, just kind of recap things. The MSU women's basketball team, they ended their national championship dreams after falling to North Carolina yesterday. Guys, Ariel Powers, Ah, boy, she after that great game, that great first game in the tournament, of course, that 30-point win over Hampton where she just went insane in the membrane, had a double-double in that game. She went kind of ghost against North Carolina, got into foul trouble early and couldn't find her groove throughout that one. Of course, Ariel Powers, freshman on the squad, has been the team's leading scorer throughout the entire season. Once you take her out, I wonder where that scoring is going to come from, and they certainly had no answer in that regard. Transition defense was terrible for MSU, something that I haven't been able to see throughout the most of this season. I mean, usually MSU gets back and defend well in transition, but a lot of that had to do with the play of Diamond DeShields. Again, she was unbelievable. She created havoc from tip-off to the time the horn went off in that second half to end the game. I mean, she was unbelievable, one of the best freshmen in the entire nation. She went off. And to be honest with you guys, North Carolina played – their defense reminded me of what MSU's defense had been the entire season. I mean, North Carolina were in their face the entire game, really put pressure on those guards, and Clarissa Bell and Tori Jankowska totally threw them off their game. I mean, they scored here and there. Clarissa Bell had a few nice drives. But overall, I mean, UNC dominated that game offensively and especially on the defensive end. And I tell you what, guys, when you look at this – like I said, I brought up yesterday when Matt and I talked about Susie Merchant and her recruiting. Great in the Big Ten, don't get me wrong, but I would love to see her land some national prospects. Granted, that is pretty tough when you're going against, you know, powerhouses like North Carolina. Kind of reminds you of, well, it's kind of hard to equate the Michigan State women's basketball team on a national level to that of a premier team like Tom Izzo's team. But, you know, recruiting's a tough field. And I would just like to see Susie land just one big name, because it makes you wonder. The talent that she recruits in Michigan is fine and dandy, but you got to branch out to compete nationally. And that's one of the things that opened my eyes.
Yep, and the score made it actually seem closer than it actually was, 62-53. It's only a 9-point game. But like you said, Al, most of the game they trailed. It was kind of lopsided for most of the game. I didn't see it live. I saw the highlights of it. Mm-hmm. But what I can say about that is, like you said, the transition defense wasn't there. The scoring wasn't like it was the first game. But what I think about that game is Ariel Powers. We talked about her being that X factor. Mm-hmm. Was she an X factor in that game?
No, she wasn't. She is the factor in you know, the game, right, for me. And once they took her out, when she got those two stupid fouls, because I watched the whole game, she got two stupid fouls early. She knew it. She went to the bench and was talking to herself the entire time when she was on the bench and just really couldn't get into a groove. Her only 2 points came on free throws. I mean, her field goal attempts, she was donut the entire game.
Now, recapping the season, guys, what do you think the ceiling is for some of these seniors or some of these players that will be graduating?
Well, let's answer that in a second. Matt, you got any thoughts real quick?
I just feel like they got jumped on early, and they could never really counter. And, you know, down 9 at the half, and then they kind of get run on to open the second half as well. And they were just kind of playing from behind the 8 ball the entire night. And I think it kind of goes to show that it's almost better to squeak by in the tournament than it is to blow teams out. Because I feel like when you squeak by, you know you have things to work on, and you come in the next game with that focus. I mean, UNC was locked in the entire night. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same team that almost lost to Tennessee Martin 2 nights before. So I think when you see a team that wins a game by 30 and you automatically pencil them in through the next round too, that's a dangerous game, because teams are not the same from game to game. Things change in the course of the tournament. And you have to take it game by game. I mean, that's why the cliche exists, because it's true. You have to take things day by day, game by game, because things change in a heartbeat. You know, yeah. Ariel Powers has a great game, 2 quick fouls, and she's out of it. She's totally ineffective. So things can change in a heartbeat. Right. You got to be ready to play under any circumstances.
Yeah, and Susie Merchant kind of alluded to that at the end of the game. I mean, she talked about, UNC, they were in a battle to squeak out of that first round. And she believes that kind of, poked the beehive. So, to put that into kind of context, and she said that the bees were swarming at him as soon as that game started, and they were. I mean, UNC seemed like a totally different team from that first round to the second round, and Michigan State just kind of curled up in a ball, and now, granted, Susie had some interesting comments, because I watched the whole press conference too, and she was very upset at how the game was called. She believes that the game was, too aggressive, and, even though it was aggressive, though, I felt – because I like aggressive games, I'm all like about that smash mouth type of play. It was a smash mouth type of game, but MSU, when they got hit, they didn't punch back. That's the biggest thing for me.
And maybe the referees, all these new calls with the hand check, Are they going to have to apply that to women's basketball? Is it too aggressive there?
Interesting conversation there. We have Dave back, guys. Dave, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports. Is Dave? No, we still do not have Dave.
Dave is really shy.
Dave is a really shy caller, you know. We'll try to get Dave one as we proceed. Guys, let's transition now to the big story of today. Of course, Northwestern, a game changer in the world of college athletics, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't heard, Northwestern is actually going to unionize its athletic players. Specifically, when we talk about the football team, the football players really spearheaded this movement. Of course, a decision that could potentially alter the course of college athletics overall throughout this entire nation. The Chicago District of the National Labor Relations Board ruled that Northwestern football players qualify as employees and can unionize. We're going to open that discussion up right now. Again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts, like Dave, we'll be giving, hopefully soon, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. All right, let's get right to it, guys. You know, when I first heard this story, when this story first broke for me, I said, uh-oh, these college athletes are about to get paid? That's the question I had in my mind. I had to do my research to figure out what exactly these unionization stipulations would entail. Now, listening to an interview from Kane Coulter, who is a former Northwestern QB, who was one of the guys who really spearheaded this movement into enacting this unionization
good
with
Northwestern.
By the way. Great quarterback, yeah. Is that, you know, I sat down and listened to the interview with him on ESPN, and what he really harped on is a few things that really stood out to me. One thing being medical bills. You know, this is something that I've talked to Alex about this before the show, too. A few football players I've talked to off the record have said that they're, you know, when they get hurt or an injury ensues on the team, their medical bills don't get fully paid for at all. And that's something that happens at Northwestern all the time, and that's something that Kane Coulter brought up. I mean, he's seen countless teammates of his when they get an ankle injury or, you know, an injury where they have to get medical treatment. Those bills that stack up, and I didn't know this, the university doesn't pay for those at all. They have to pay out of pocket. I had no idea on that one.
And if they're not on the team anymore, like if for instance somebody suffered like an ACL injury, and their scholarship wasn't renewed for the next year, and they're rehabbing that after they're not on scholarship anymore, they are completely on the hook for that. Like that's
right.
The team has nothing to
that's
do with
that. That's all their
at
pocket.
All.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I had no idea with that one. Another one is that this unionization really, what he really harped on, which is pretty admirable, as far as the academic support, which they are really stressing in the wording of this whole unionization contract. Kane Coulter, he basically focused on academic help, saying that, you know, student athletes, they participate 40 to 50 hours a week, and he believes that that amount of time dedicated to sports does not allow you to get adequate help in your academics. And they're starting to see, at least in Northwestern's case, for instance, what Kane was talking about was that they're starting to see grades tremendously slump when it comes to Northwestern football players, which really sparked this whole thing saying, hey, all right, we need to get some academic help because 40 to 50 hours a week when it comes to football dedication does not allow us to get the tutoring and the studying that we need to survive in our classes. Now, the NCAA, when it comes to getting paid, they brought the question up and said, hey, Kane, did you guys enact this thing to possibly get paid? Kane said, no, we already get paid through our athletic scholarships. His exact words. That's what really stood out to me because, again, when I first heard about this guy, they said, oh, man, this just opened up a big can of worms. They about to get paid. Kane said, quote, we already get paid in the form of our scholarships. The NCAA released a statement saying that the overall feeling from student athletes is that, quote, student athletes participate to enhance their college experience, not to get paid. Guys, I open up for thoughts now. Matt?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
it's a lot to process. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for me is that, you know, Orr decided basically that being a college athlete, you know, you're not really the word or the phrase student athlete isn't mm-hmm. really true because these guys, like you said, they are committing 40 to 50 hours a week to sports. You can't take certain classes if it's during practice time. So your time is built around your athletic, you know, performance. You know, you don't have the freedom that other students do to take certain classes at certain times or pursue certain fields. I know, like, you know, various programs kind of funnel athletes into certain programs in the university that they think they're more able to handle. So I think in that sense, you know, equating a college athlete to an employee makes a ton of sense. And I think the reasons that, you know, that they laid out as to why they made the decision, it kind of checks out. And more than anything, it just kind of exposes the fallacy that is the student athlete. Because really, when you look at it, how much are academics being stressed? And if it's this way at a school like Northwestern, which has the academic reputation of, you know, almost an Ivy League school or you know, kind of an Ivy League school, you know, what is it like at bigger schools that are more football factories or you know, basketball powerhouses? It's interesting to see how it would go down, you know, down the pecking order in terms of academics to a school that maybe doesn't have the academic reputation that Northwestern has. Is it even worse than that at other schools than it is at just a Northwestern?
I exactly see where you're going with that, Matt. Now, I agree with what Kane said when he laid out, when he talks about the medical bills and the, you know, academic support. There are, however, two areas that I do have a problem when it comes to this entire unionization thing. I will get with that in a second. Also, Aaron, just let me know that our phones are now working. Dave, you want to call back, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Alex?
Yeah, no, definitely a lot to take in here, guys. Al, you said it to start. When you first looked at this, you said, wow, players are getting paid. But Matt laid it out perfectly. It's not that at every school the academics are stressed as much as they are, let's say, from a Northwestern to a Prairie View, okay? You know, each school obviously stresses the football, their football differently. And when it comes to athletes not being able to take classes at certain times, and personally, Al, and for the listeners, I've seen and I know many athletes here who have expressed to me their inability to take classes because of the time they need for their sport. So it kind of makes sense why the unionization is happening and how these are more employees, because when you look at the time they're putting in and their revenue gain, yeah, it's true. Now, whether this is good for the future of college sports and for the future of scholarship and for the future of revenue to its students, I don't think it's a good future, but it checks out.
In what way?
I don't think it's a good future because this is going to open the doors to more legal testimonials, to more legalities, to more challenge of the actual scholarship.
There are already three lawsuits that are in effect right now that would challenge that. So I don't see how that's a concern in this instance.
And before I open this up, I want to make one point before we get to Caleb, before you guys add on to what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point I want to get to is that right before this unionization happened, guess what happened in the video game world? There was a ban from EA Sports on using college video games and players' names and jerseys, and the ban of college sports video games. And I think that had a significant impact on the unionization itself. And I think that was actually kind of the propeller to really get this going.
Yeah, that definitely was the food in the microwave to put the pressure to heat things up. I definitely agree with that. Guys, before we get to Caleb, we have two callers. Apache is on line one. How you doing, Apache?
I'm doing okay. First of all, I want to say I think Kane Colter and his friends were masterful in what they did, because I don't think it's really an issue of unionization. Unionization is probably going to be struck down by the Corporations United Supreme Court, I would think, because we know we have most states are mostly a right to work, and you have all the sabotage when people try to unionize. But what they did is they put a full court press on the NCAA. And they have the podium to reveal. Like you said, I didn't know that. I didn't know that either.
Right.
It's shameful how they're treated. Now they got the podium. Now they have a lever to say, we're going to talk, and we're going to talk publicly. You're going to come to the table and talk to us. Because we know that the NCAA is not suicidal. They're going to listen, and they're going to make compromises. So I think it's wonderful what they're doing. Because it is. I mean, they're taking advantage of these guys. You and I and your crew there, man, we absolutely love sports. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people sacrifice their bodies and their minds. I love football. As dangerous as it is, you know, I wouldn't play it. I'm scared to play it. But, man, I absolutely love it. And I see all the injuries and so forth, and I feel bad. But, you know, I'm prepared to help compensate these athletes in some way. And I don't think it's about them being employees. It's about them
getting better benefits that they're entitled to. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of money. I don't know. I don't know how they would work that out. But I think they just found a mechanism to bring everybody into the conversation. The lawsuits are good because now you're making noise.
Right.
And so you have to bring evidence to the table. So I would think that there's going to be a lot of wonderful byproducts as a result of these issues that are taking place. We saw this with steroids. We saw this with the racial slurs in the NFL and so forth and so forth. So I think it was very masterful.
Right.
And I don't really think it's about unionization. They're going to redefine what a student athlete is, and they're going to redefine the responsibilities of the universities and the NCAA. Thanks, right. guys. Love
hey.
The show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Apache. You appreciate it. Very, very great points. A lot of great points made there. And, yeah, I definitely, when you look at these students who decided to make this move and really spearhead this whole movement, it is definitely admirable because you don't see a lot of college athletes. We've never seen this before. I mean, this is a game changer. We have Dave on line two. How you doing, Dave? Welcome to Current Sports.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Apache, that was a well articulated phone call, and I concur with everything you said. I just add that in our great country, you know, there is a right to work, and we have an employer-employee relationship now. This is not a traditional employee-employer relationship. But what we have is a service being provided and compensation being given to, the athlete. Yes, the athlete receives education as a compensation. But in that relationship, the athlete has a right to try to maximize the compensation. The employer, if you want to look at it that way, the universities, they are unionized in form of an association. They're called the National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA.
Right.
They come together in order to govern, discipline, and maximize revenues, off of the athlete. So why can't the athlete come together to try to maximize their compensation? I heard a caller on Tim Stout's show earlier who said that what he would like to see, and I agree with it, is more compensation to the athlete in terms of the ability to have a scholarship or to have the educate for postgraduate and beyond. And also, I agree with Kane's saying that, the medical issue. They should have lifetime medical.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Right.
But the athlete, in my opinion, has a right to form. Now, on the other side of that, the university can say, well, we are not going to bargain with you. They have that right also. It's a very slippery slope.
Yeah, yeah.
But I side on the athlete. I agree with Apache. This is going to bring them to the table. This is
going to give
the athlete more. And I think they have that coming. It's typical
right.
of society. You see all the revenue being generated. You want a bigger piece of the pie. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate that. And we also have one more caller. Mark, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm good. I just want to point out one distinction. The decision by the labor board is that they have the right to form a union and have a vote for a union. They're not unionized yet.
Right, not yet. The vote still has to take place. The
so
players
just,
have to vote.
But you're saying they're unionized when they're not yet.
Right.
That being said, I do support that they should be able to unionize because everyone has the right to join associations and better themselves and stand up for their rights.
Right.
But I just wanted to make sure we had that distinction clear that they're not unionized yet.
Yeah, not yet. The vote will has to take place within amongst the players. Yeah.
Well, and they still have to.
Thank you, Mark.
And they still have to go through the upper levels of the NLRB. The NLRB has to. The NLRB proper, the Chicago region of it, approved it. It has to go to the NLRB proper, and it may go into the courts and further than that.
There's still some steps to be taken. Like you said, the players still have to vote to, they have to get a certain majority vote for it to proceed. But this definitely is certain. Opened up a big can of worms, though, guys. And I tell you what, looking, I guess another conversation I want to have with you guys, college athletes being looked at as employees. I want you to get your guys' thoughts on that because when you talk about putting in 40 to 50 hours a week, that's unbelievable for whatever you do. I don't care what you're doing, whatever profession that is, that's still a lot of hours. And expecting these athletes to also
go to class. I know if I was putting, 40 to 50. I remember when I was an intern back in college and, doing internships, putting in an ungodly amount of hours at Channel 6 and at Home TV and, writing for Voice magazine. I know my academics definitely struggled to a degree because I wasn't paying attention to them as much. I was focused on other things and focused on those internships. And I can definitely see where the athletes are, where it comes that verbiage of college athletes being looked at as employees comes in, because, I mean, that's ideally, if you're going to unionize, that's what you're looking at these college athletes are as. What do you think about
that? Yeah, well, look at students here. They have opportunities in the CAS building, the Communication Arts and Sciences building. You could be a web developer part-time as a student. Those students are putting in the same time as football players, 40 to 50 hours, and they're getting paid. They're a university employee. So when you look at that, yes, it's a little different. I think Matt's going to add something right now. But it does draw a lot of thin lines.
I think you're going to see a lot of backlash from the students when you talk about this discussion. A lot.
The only thing I'd say to that is those kids in the Comm Arts and Sciences building who are getting paid aren't getting a free education.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal. Because
some of them may.
But, I mean, a lot of kids who come to school here and maybe have a job off campus, and they are getting compensated for it, but they don't carry student loans into their 30s because they came here and had to pay their own way. It seems like the free education is a big deal, and to have the resources that kids have here, especially athletes here, with the Clarabelle Smith Center and all the academic resources that are at their disposal if they choose to use it. It seems like that could go a long way in, the universities and the NCAA arguing that they are being well compensated.
Right. That's a good point you bring up, Matt, because this is the thing I have about it. Oh, Caleb, go ahead. Yeah. Really quick.
The thing with that, the only I don't disagree entirely with your position there. What I will say is that while athletes may not carry student debt into their 30s or what have you, they may carry physical trauma.
I definitely see medical coverage being a different issue altogether.
I think you can make the argument that they should be getting more than what they are. But my thing with this is, first of all, Al, by virtue of thinking pay for play was what we were talking about, and then looking it up and finding out that that's not the case, you've already done more than the NCAA did after the ruling came out, because the NCAA issued a tone-deaf statement that talked about how college students shouldn't get paid, and that's not even the issue.
That's not the issue, exactly. That's why I do my research before I came on here and start talking about it. Yeah.
Yes, and we appreciate that. the thing, MSU students and UM students too, in terms of Michigan's universities, probably shouldn't get too worked up about this right now, because, as we said earlier, there's still a lot of different things or levels this has to go through, and also, state universities in Michigan. Are any employees, athletes would be considered employees, and they're state employees, and Michigan is now a right-to-work state, so they can't unionize to begin with. So if people are concerned about it impacting MSU, it won't in this form. Mm-hmm. That's a completely different can of worms that has to be opened up down the road. But I think it's important that we acknowledge that student athletes deserve something more than what they're getting, and whether that be in medical coverage. And my thing is just in endorsements. Like, you can't do an endorsement if you're a college player, even if you have no pro future, and I think that's wrong.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think he nailed it, and the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway for me is that the NCAA finally has to get their head out of the sand about this whole thing. I think they've been kind of waiting for this day to come and hoping that it never would. But now it's starting to come to the forefront. They're going to have to deal with it.
They have to now. Yeah, without a doubt, guys. Hey, great input. We'll continue this discussion tomorrow. I had a few more points that we definitely want to talk about in this discussion. Again, you can weigh in on Facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at Al Martin WKR. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin WKR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. And be easy, people.